Reverend Carberry, Father Carberry, Vicar Carberry, is there a name for you?
You're all right, I don't do titles. Patrick's fine.
Patrick is fine. You are a pagan priest, Patrick. What exactly is a properly recognised pagan priest of the Order of the Golden River?
Well, basically, I'm a pagan priest. I believe in many gods and many goddesses. I work within our faith, so that's basically about it.
So if you get up in the morning and you are thinking about the gods and goddesses, who would be crossing your mind?
Very much the Morrigan and Carnanos would be the two I would work closest with.
And who are they?
The Morrigan and Carnanos, they're both Celtic gods, a god and a goddess. And we look about balance. There has to be balance in everything in the world, and male and female balance in everything you look at.
So you would see the beauty in everything, or do you see the trauma in some things?
I see both. Unfortunately, there's evil in the world as well, and it's something that has to be acknowledged, because if you ignore it, it won't go away. It just multiplies.
And you've had official recognition from Stormont, is that right?
Basically, the General Register's office, I applied to become an officiant at weddings because it's legal in the south, recognised weddings for pagans and in Scotland, but not actually here or England and Wales. So I applied to the General Register's office for that recognition, and after 5 months they granted it.
And you're going to officiate at wedding ceremonies and marry a pagan onto pagan, or might you marry a pagan onto a believer in some other Christian god or Islamic god? Are you restricted in who you can marry?
Not as far as I'm aware. If they're coming to myself or to get if they're coming to me to get married, it's called a hand fastening ceremony, and it is it's basically anyone who wants to come for a hand fastening ceremony will be married under the denomination of the Golden River.
And do you do this by the Lagan or somewhere? Where do you carry out the ceremonies?
Where anybody wants to, because we work a lot with nature and we work out in nature. So if someone wants to get married on the beach, we can do that. I mean, they can get married wherever they want to.
But do you have the permission to marry them in some form of church that you have, or do you not have a church?
We don't work from in buildings. I mean, the gods and the goddess created the world. I mean, why shut yourself away from it for anything like that? So I mean, we would work right in the field if they want to, and on the beach, and in the mountain, in the woods, and stone circles, any of the ancient sites, anywhere someone wishes to get married, we can do that.
Someone mentioned a stone circle to me here on the radio one morning that is down, is it down near Torella or somewhere? And it was right on the top of the 10 o'clock news, and I said to the man, I'd love to look into that, and I forget the name of the blooming stone circle.
There's a stone circle down there, it's called Ballynoe Stone Circle.
That's the one, Ballynoe Stone Circle. I think, from memory, that Barra Best featured that on the TV when he did a series of programmes about trains. I might be wrong on old railway lines. I could be wrong. Could be linking two places together that aren't connected. But do you know much about Ballynoe Stone Circle? Because I have a specific interest in this, and I'll explain to you why. Would that be the sort of place that you would be drawn to by your belief in this, you know, array of gods that you honour?
Yes, basically, Ballynoe Stone Circle would be a place I would go to quite frequently, actually, because I live about 5 miles from it. And it was because, besides Ballynoe Stone Circle, there's an abandoned railway station.
Yes, that would be in keeping with the documentary I saw on the telly.
Yes.
And what would have happened at that stone circle that would link it to a pagan priest and his followers?
It's an ancient burial site, but it's also on the ley lines. It's also to do with worship and honour. The stone circle, basically, we would honour the gods and goddesses. We'd invite them into our lives, and that's the gods and goddesses are in everything.
So you'd be a big Stonehenge man. That would be your sort of, that would be, how do I best describe this? That would be your St Peter's Basilica as far as Catholics would go.
I would really love to visit Stonehenge.
Your Westminster Abbey.
Yeah, I would love to visit Stonehenge. I've actually never been to Stonehenge.
Yes, that sounds like as if, you know, it's like a Catholic saying he's never been to Lourdes.
Well, this is it. I have been to Lourdes, actually.
I've never been to Lourdes. But, yeah, so if you were standing at Ballynoe's Stone Circle, you wouldn't just be looking at it from a historical perspective, you'd be, and I don't mean to be flippant in any way, but you'd be feeling some sort of vibe. You would be in touch with a greater goodness that would be guiding you. Am I right?
You're 100%. I feel the energies of the stone circle. I feel the energies of the land.
Mm-hmm. And are there many followers?
In our own, in the Gordon, over the Gordon River, we've got about 30 followers. They're spread throughout the whole of Northern Ireland, but we do have about 30 followers.
And do you come together at a stone circle? Is some field?
At times, we would mostly be very private because the members want it that way. They don't want to basically come out and say who they are, because some of them are pretty high-profile members, and it wouldn't do their careers any good, because people do turn against you whenever you're a pagan.
So there would be someone who would be standing in a lonely country spot with you who we would recognise their name?
Well, I don't know if you'd recognise their name, but their jobs basically would be... It wouldn't go down well for their jobs, put it like that.
And when you are there, is it, you know, are you robed? Is there a particular form of clothing? There isn't a suggestion that there is a lack of clothing, is there?
Well, no, there's no lack of clothing. It'd be too cold for a start. No. Robes usually, sometimes people would use robes. I use a poncho, stuff like that there. And it's generally, you know, it doesn't matter how you dress to be worshipping or honouring the gods. I mean, we honour them every day in our life.
Mm. And when the honouring is taking place, see, I understand people going into a church and kneeling and saying a prayer. I understand people kneeling and facing Mecca. I understand those who be at the Wailing Wall, wherever you happen to be. I have an understanding of what's going through the minds of these people.
Yes.
But the person who is by the river or who's looking towards the sun or, you know, feeling the tree or letting the wind whistle through their hair and getting a sense of some sort of divine intervention, I'm not fully across that. So explain that to me.
Well, it can happen with absolutely everyone. You don't have to be a pagan for to experience that. I mean, people can walk down by the Lagan and walk along there and see the beauty in things and feel God in things. Everyone has their own beliefs, and I applaud everyone for their beliefs. That person's beliefs makes them a good person, makes them a better person, and that's the way we look upon things. We are open to everyone. As anyone comes in through to see us and wants to come along with us and experience things, they're more than welcome to do so. We don't ask them what their religion is.
So what does Christ mean to you?
Jesus was a very good man and had very, very good philosophies and he was brought into the state of made a god by the people, and that's his place. But with us, gods and goddesses are all equal. There's no one better than the other. We acknowledge that he's there, and if someone comes to me and says, well, look, I'm doing a ceremony, but would like to bring Jesus in as well as what other gods and goddesses, not a problem.
Yeah, but it'd probably be difficult for someone who does believe in Christ or someone who follows the teachings of Muhammad or who believes in Allah. They would find themselves in an uncomfortable surroundings if they were with pagans and pagan priests. Because am I right in believing the most obvious thing about being a pagan is that you don't believe in the power of one God? So, you know, that is true. You're one of the main rules within the Bible is, I am the Lord thy God, thou shalt not have strange gods before me. You kick that one into touch straight away.
Well, this is the reason that one was brought in, because whenever you look at Christianity and you look at the old ways and the many gods, even in Rome and Greece, the many different gods and goddesses that were there before that, but this was brought in that one God came in and said, I am the Lord, the God, and basically no one else is allowed to be. I mean, this is what we're told, this is what we're taught. But, I mean, you know, when it comes down to that aspect, that is someone's belief. And if someone has that belief, as I said, I applaud them for that belief. My wife is a Christian.
And how difficult is that when she gets up to go to church of a morning?
No difficulty at all. Me and the wife fights the bit out, but never once about religion.
So she doesn't think that you're, and again, not being flippant, she doesn't think that you're a wee bit mad.
Nope, she doesn't at all. As she says, and I mean, as I say, everyone has their faith, and if they wish to believe that, you know, who am I to stop them?
And where do you stand on some of the teachings? You know, this great debate that's ongoing at the moment about equality and gay rights and the issues surrounding abortion that are forever causing angst and problems for those who see the Bible as what dictates to them. Where do the pagans stand on, for example, those two issues?
Well, I can't speak for all pagans. I can only speak for myself. Where I would stand on those two issues is basically people have a choice in their lifestyle. So if people who are of homosexual or gay relationship, that is what those people are. Those people are gay. It's not their life choice. It's not them that chose to be that way. I mean, I honour them as well. I mean, they're absolutely fantastic, lovely, lovely people. I mean, I've never come across anyone that's not. The abortion side of things, that's the choice of the person who makes that decision. But personally, my choice is I wouldn't like that, because to me, I believe that the spirit of the body is assigned on the moment of conception and not on the moment of birth.
But does a woman have the right to choose?
Well, that's down to that woman's choice. I mean, the freedom of choice is exactly that, a freedom of choice. I mean, there are loads of circumstances where the woman may not want to bring a child into the world. And, I mean, that is, again, an experience in itself, because the spirit of that child might not want to come to the world anyway.
With regards to the marriage ceremony you carry out, what's it called again? A handshake or a hand?
Hand fastening. It's where the old saying comes of tying the knot. With the hand fastening, where you tie the hand together, and it brings about unity that these are two people from a single and they're coming together and they wish to be of one. Mm-hmm. And that's where it comes in. That's where the old saying of tying the knot comes from.
So this is the tying of the hands.
Yep.
So would you tie the hands of two gay men?
If two gay men came to me and asked me to do that, yes, I would. But unfortunately, it's not legally recognised in Northern Ireland.
But you would have no problem at all with the ceremony, the ongoing expression of love between two men or two women. You're open to all of that as a pagan priest.
Yes, love is in the soul, love is in the spirit. Doesn't matter what your body is. The love is in the soul and the spirit, and it's a soul connection between two people.
What did you used to be before you were a pagan priest, Patrick, in terms of religion?
Well, I was brought up in a Catholic. I was sent to a Catholic school, which I didn't particularly like. And religion at that time, and the Catholic faith and the faith in the Bible never ever did sit well with me. I believe faith and religion, it should be people's choice. People should have the choice to choose their religion, to choose what they believe, and not be sort of drummed into one person or, you know. Mm-hmm. This is what we teach, open your mind. If you open your mind and you're led to Christianity, and Christianity's your way, that's your path. Every single person has a different path.
Now, you've only got 30 followers at the moment, but are you entitled to do a collection? Do you get any tax relief on any form of stone circle that you might be erecting? Any of those benefits that other churches and denominations have?
I'm sure we'll have all the benefits of we're registering all the stuff at the minute. It took us by surprise, actually, because we weren't expecting to be made into a denomination.
It took you by surprise. Yeah. It's taken me by surprise that Stormont accepted the pagans. They won't even accept themselves.
Well, it took me by surprise, definitely. I got the letter from the General Register's office at the end of March there, and everything just sort of went haywire. You know, it's just sort of, hold on a minute here, what's happening?
Do you think there's a possibility that it got signed off on a Friday evening when somebody wasn't looking?
Well, it took them 5 months to sign it off.
Patrick, it'll be interesting to hear, if you've only 30 followers, the chances of us having some actually listening at the moment, probably few and far between if they're dotted right across Northern Ireland, those 30. However, love to hear from people who might be interested in becoming a pagan and indeed being a member of the Order of the Golden River and following the Reverend, no, Father, no, just Patrick. Patrick Carberry, the official first pagan priest of Northern Ireland. Patrick, good speaking to you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So, take care.
God bless. Be good. Bye-bye.